2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to four, patriots.com/Ben to get your solar generator now. You'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to fourpatriots.com/Ben. That's the number fourpatriots.com/Ben.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Israel does defend itself with an extremely limited response. Other analysts have described the news reports as propaganda, making comparison to official programming supporting the communist regime in the former Soviet Union, saying that they just are trying to make it look worse than it actually is. But the world has clearly decided now this is a very limited response. So what is the bigger threat in this country right now? Well, our biggest concern should be the number of those that have come across the southern border that are on the terrorist watch list, as terrorism seems to be gaining speed around the world. Iran said two things. One is a lie. This is their first lie that Iran said. The defense minister, listen.
Our objective was to warn, as to send a clear message to be received by the government of Israel and to let it know that we do have the means to respond. I will repeat again. We never seek the expansion of chaos and warfare and tensions in the region.
That's a lie. We know that they expand their tensions in the region. We know that they were in charge of killing American soldiers with roadside bombs. We know they helped train the attackers for the attack on the Israeli people and the genocide that they created. And they shot 300 plus missiles at Israel just last week. They then say, we don't want to do anything to escalate. That's a lie. The Iranian foreign minister also saying this about what Israel did this morning.
In case the Israeli regime embarks on adventurism again and takes action against the interests of Iran, the next response from us will be immediate and at a maximum level.
So what they're saying is, it sounds like they are not going to respond to this retaliatory strike at the hands of Israel. Now, that is good news because we do all want this to de-escalate. The question is Iran saying that now because they're afraid that Israel will then strike their nuclear sites? I think that's pretty clear. They're afraid that they can't defend themselves against an attack by Israel. They just proved that Israel can come in and go after them in a very big way. So that is also, I think, another serious part of their, okay, we're going to back down here because they realize that they could lose. And what they could lose could be a lot. All right, so that's a part number two of this that people need to understand. There's also another part of this, and that is anti-Semitic attacks and rhetoric are at an all-time high right now. The Anti-Defamation League representative went on MSNBC this morning, and I played this for you, saying in 45 years, we've never seen anything like this, and it's happening mostly starting on college campuses. Now, to also be clear, NBC News is still keeping up their anti-Israel rhetoric this morning. I'll give you an example of that. Richard Haass saying this on MSNBC about the Biden administration. Listen.
Richard Haass, was this just the latest and final round of shadow boxing between Israel and Iran, trying to prove something to each other, to their constituencies, to regional friends and enemies, or do you expect more?
No, I think we're all in violent or even nonviolent agreement this morning. This was carefully calibrated. The Israelis felt compelled to respond to show that they could reach Iran if need be. They could hurt them if need be, but they didn't hurt them this time. The fact that the Iranians are downplaying it at home suggests to me they don't feel compelled to retaliate against the retaliation. I think this is showed the Bibi Netanyahu were often critical. I think in this case, he resisted what he was getting pressured to do from his right. He did less rather than more. I think the Biden administration should feel pretty good in terms of calming down the reactions. And I think, excuse me, this is also a realization on the Israelis. They got their hands full. They've still got Gaza, and they have to make some big decisions about Rafah and occupation. They face, as the Admiral was talking about, a massive threat from Hezbollah still, and it got active a few days ago. It's possible the West Bank will get more militarized. They got problems there. So I think this is really an interesting case. You see it sometimes, short during the Cold War, Joe, that adversaries figure out how to signal. There's nothing formal, there's nothing explicit, but I think what we saw here is some actually sophisticated signaling and messaging by Israel and Iran.
So the Biden administration this morning seems to be pretty happy with this. They seem to be pretty happy with what they're seeing. They seem to be pretty happy with how this is going down. What we also know is officials in Tehran initially played down the attack, first telling Reuters that the explosions heard were a result of the activation of Iran's air defense system. They realized once the pictures were leaking out of their country, they couldn't stick with that plan. So then they changed it. Then they said that 500 suicide drones and missiles were fired at us and that Israel was subjected to the world's largest drone attack. That then didn't work out either because there weren't that many attacks. Israeli's military told the AFP, "We don't have a comment at this time." However, a former Israeli Defense Forces spokesman said Iran hadn't accurately assessed the damage caused by the strikes yet, saying, quote, "It will take them time to work out what happened." We also now know that the Department of Homeland Security knew that Lake and Riley's accused killer had a criminal record. We also now have been told that the Department of Homeland Security knew that they, in fact, gave a work permit anyways to that individual so that that individual could stay in America and work. And we also now know that Mayorkas lied to Congress, coming out overnight, claiming that he had no derogatory information on the individual. President Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security approved a work permit for Jose Antonio, of Venezuela who is accused of murdering the 22-year-old Lakin Riley, even after discovering he had a prior criminal history, according to federal documents detailed by Senator Josh Hawley. On February the 22nd, Lakin Riley went for a morning jog around the University of Georgia campus in Athens. Riley, her body was bludgeoned, and it was found later that day in a wooded area. The following day, the illegal immigrant, Jose Antonio, was arrested and charged with her murder. During a Senate budget hearing yesterday, Hawley read aloud the DHS file on the illegal immigrant, which he said senators only recently obtained. According to the documents that Hawley read, the individual was encountered at the United States-Mexico border near El Paso, Texas, on September the 8th of 2022. DHS officials cited detention capacity, according to Hawley, as the reason that he was rewarded parole. You and I both know lack of detention capacity is not a valid reason for parole under the statute, Hawley said to the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, known as ICE, data shows about 8,100 available detention beds at the time the individual was encountered at the border, meaning that they lied. Okay, they lied. It's called gross negligence. Mayorkas says freeing Lakin Riley's accused killer into the U.S. was warranted even after he was asked about the detention center and that lie. Biden's expansive catch and release network, Senator Rand Paul noted, purported to give parole to migrants on a case-by-case basis for public benefit or humanitarian reasons. Senator Paul asked Mayorkas if detention capabilities and capacity is a reason migrants are given parole, but Mayorkas said he would not comment on the case. Then he said, well, why was this man paroled? Paul repeatedly asked Mayorkas. On July the 19th of last year, Hawley said the DHS file stated that the illegal immigrant reported to agency officials in New York City for a biometric appointment where he was fingerprinted. The results of those fingerprints, according to the documents, show that the illegal immigrant had a prior criminal history. Then, on September the 14th of 2023, the illegal immigrant was arrested for acting in a manner that could injure a child. This is in America. Despite the charge, the man was not prosecuted, and the arrest was expunged from his record. 2 months later, in November of 2023, the Department of Homeland Security file states that the illegal immigrant applied for an employment authorization document known as an EAD with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. On December the 9th, just days later, Hawley said the DHS file states that the individual, the illegal immigrant, and the work permit application was then approved. And less than 3 months after securing that work permit, the man was charged with Lakin Riley's murder. I want you to hear some of this back and forth from Hawley. Listen.
Mr. Secretary, let's just come back to Jose Ibarra, if we can. You know who that is. That's a question. You know what he did.
I know what he's accused of doing.
Which is?
Murdering a young woman.
And that wasn't the first crime that he committed in this country, was it?
Senator, as I've articulated previously, I'm not going to speak about the facts of the case because there is an ongoing criminal investigation.
Have you read his parole file?
Senator, same answer.
So you're not going to say whether or not you've read the parole file? I've got it right here. Have you read this?
Senator, I do not want to speak to the particulars of the case given the pending criminal prosecution.
I find this interesting because this is a new answer today. You've changed your answers all over the map on this, and it looks like to me you just don't want to answer the question. 2 days ago, you were asked about this in the House Homeland Security Committee. I've got the transcript right here in front of me. You were asked the same question. Jose Ibarra, why was he paroled? You said, I don't know. You said, I don't know. I don't have the case details with me today. Congressman Bishop says, you don't know? And you said, I don't know. I don't have the details with respect to that individual's case, but I would be pleased to provide them to you, Congressman. You didn't know 2 days ago. Now, interestingly, on April the 10th, 6 days before that, you gave Senator Katie Britt a different answer. She asked you the same question. She said, why was Jose Ibarra paroled into the United States? You said, and I quote, ranking member Britt, there was no derogatory information of which we were aware. So you were happy to comment on the case then on April the 10th. By April the 16th, you had developed amnesia. And today you say you just won't comment. So which is it, Mr. Secretary? Now that we have the file, I'll tell you what the difference is. Congressman Bishop didn't have the parole file, and Senator Britt didn't have the parole file. And now we do have the parole file. And now we all know that the reason he was paroled into this country was because lack of detention capacity, which, as you and I both know, is not a valid reason under the statute. And now that we know that for sure, this is right out of the parole file. Here it is. Subject was paroled due to detention capacity at the Central Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Now, suddenly, you don't want to talk about it. This is extraordinary. It's also a pattern with you. So, let me just try one more time. Have you read the parole file?
Senator, I'm going to give the same answer, and let me say it.
Well, which one? Are you going to give me the answer you gave to Senator Britt? Are you going to give the answer you gave to Congressman Bishop, or the answer you gave to Senator Paul, or do you want to try a fourth one?
Senator, I will not speak to the particulars of the case, given the pending criminal prosecution.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Well, you certainly, of course, you don't want to, because it is an absolutely damning indictment of your policies. Let's just review Ibarra, and how he came to be here. On September the 8th, 2022, he was encountered by United States Border Patrol in El Paso, Texas, and was paroled into the United States due to lack of detention capacity. A provision, a proviso, a rule that is not permitted under the statute. You and I both know you know this. You knew it when you were talking to Congressman Bishop. You knew it when you were testifying to Senator Britt, and you know it today. You just never wanted to cop to it because the statute doesn't permit it. And so you lied to Congressman Bishop, and you lied to Senator Britt. And now you are hiding behind the ongoing prosecution excuse because it's the last one left to you because you testified falsely under oath. Then on July 19th, 2023, Ibarra reports for a biometric appointment and was fingerprinted. This is now in New York. The results come back and indicate he has a criminal history. So he's in this country. He has a criminal history. September 14th, he is arrested in New York by NYPD for what? Injuring a child. September 14th, 2023, he is arrested for injuring a child. What happens? The offense was never prosecuted and the arrest was expunged. I'm reading right out of the parole file. Expunged. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Lakin Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator, you've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all. Let me ask you something else. Travis Wolf, do you know that name?
Not off the top of my head.
Travis Wolf is a 12-year-old boy from Missouri. This is him. Travis was killed on December 20th, 2023, or I should say he was in a tragic attack on that night. He died some weeks later, head-on collision. The person driving the vehicle, who's now been charged with six criminal counts, is Indrina Bracco. Do you know who that is?
I do not, but let me communicate that I know that all of our hearts break for the family of this young boy who died in that accident.
Well, she's an illegal migrant here from Venezuela. Local law enforcement tell me that she was detained briefly at the border in 2023 and then released. And then she commits this crime. Multiple people have been stabbed in O'Fallon, Missouri, by illegal migrants. Mr. Secretary, I know that you think your policies are a success. You sat right there in that chair and you've told me over and over our policies are working. You're on the record years and years saying that. Maybe they're working for you. Maybe they're working for your political objectives, whatever they may be. I don't know. But they're not working for Laken Riley or Travis Wolf or the people of my state.
Democrats laughing in the face of Americans after Mayorkas was able to get away with not following the American laws when it comes to the southern border. He's also an individual that lied to the American people. Just 1 year ago, he said the border is secure. The border is secure. That is what he said when talking to Congress about a wide open border that he admits now, well, there's major problems and isn't secure. So how did he get away with it? And how were they able to cut this trial to just a single day? Joining me now to talk about this, it wasn't even a trial, actually. It was just like they couldn't even get to a trial. Joining me now to talk about this is U.S. Senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn. Senator, always a pleasure to chat with you. This seems like a very big defeat for conservatives. There's a lot of frustration from conservatives right now because they feel like we're losing all over the place. We have infighting on the House, a real prospect of losing another speaker. Then we have the Mayorkas impeachment that doesn't go anywhere. Explain how this happened yesterday and what people need to know.
Yes, what Chuck Schumer did, as we assembled and were sworn in into a court of impeachment, he made a point of order and then deemed that Article 1 was unconstitutional and did not meet the threshold for removal of Mayorkas. And every single Democrat voted with him. Now, we spent a lot of time, about 3 hours, trying to refute this and make our points of order. And then following the closure, we made certain that we went to the floor and spent another few hours laying out what Mayorkas had done. But this has... what Chuck Schumer did yesterday has never been done. 21 impeachments, in 4 of them, the individual either died or resigned. And then 17, when the impeachment by the House went to the Senate for trial, the trial was held. And so Senators Lee and Kennedy had organizing resolutions that mirrored the Trump 1 and Trump 2 impeachments. Senator Cruz had one that a motion that would have formed a trial committee, but Chuck Schumer would have none of it. And so Patty Murray was the presiding officer, and repeatedly we were just, we were shut out of trying to move to a trial. And for the first time ever, they dismissed the impeachment articles and to the American people. But then I will tell you this, these Democrats that are up for re-election this year, and they have very tough, close races, and you're looking at New Mexico, Nevada, Montana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these, and the race in Maryland, the race in West Virginia, Democrats are going to have to answer for that because it was unprecedented. It plays into that two tiers of justice that they keep pushing. There's one tier for the Democrats and the elites. There's a different tier if your name is Trump or if you're a Republican or a conservative, and people are sick and tired of this.
Harry Reid said something that was very interesting that I do think should be used, and I hope every Republican running for office in the Senate uses it. Especially, and he said about this impeachment, we're going to get through this quick. We're going to move quickly to move past this. He also made an admission, and it was an important one. He said that you should never have someone impeached over a policy disagreement. Now, what that means is he's admitting that the policy of the Democratic Party of the Biden administration is to have wide open southern borders and to allow as many illegal immigrants into this country as possible. That's the first time that he's ever admitted that publicly. And it was very, very clear. He was saying this is just a policy disagreement. Now, they haven't said that before publicly. We knew it was their policy of the Biden administration to get rid of all the executive orders that secured our border. That was very clear. And Harry Reid was like acting like, oh, this is just no big deal. This is just a normal day. We just have a simple policy disagreement. Well, now we know they're admitting this is their policy, chaos of the southern border.
And they've been very clear and very intentional. And when I was with some of our Senate conservatives last night on the floor, I talked a little bit about the intentionality that they have used in opening the southern border. We know exactly what they're doing. These big blue states have lost population. That affects the amount of money you get from the federal government. It affects your congressional seats. It affects the Electoral College. So they are quickly moving people into these areas. Why do you think that California is saying, hey, illegal aliens, come here, we will give you free health care? It is because California lost 770,000 people last year. That is just shy of the 850,000 people that make up a congressional district. California has already lost a couple of congressional seats. So, you know, we know what they're doing. We also are attuned to the fact that some areas will allow those illegally in the country to get a driver's license, and we're concerned about their having the ability to vote and those voter registrations. And we're looking at what we can do to be sure that that they are not voting in those federal elections, the presidential elections.
I may have said the word Harry Reid earlier. I meant Chuck Schumer. I want people to hear what Chuck Schumer had to say in his own words at this press conference.
Your colleagues say you're going to offer a motion to dismiss the impeachment charges on Thursday. Are you at all concerned that if some Democrats in tough races vote for that, it will come back to haunt on the campaign trail?
Look, we're going to try and resolve this issue as quickly as possible. Impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
So if Republicans use this the right way, what you're basically saying is, yes, this was a big victory for Democrats yesterday, protecting Mayorkas from impeachment and also having to admit, and for the American people to see, the disaster at the southern border. We also had testimony yesterday on the same day that you guys were dealing with this, coming from our Attorney General Garland on the issue of fentanyl, saying that it's the biggest threat to this country and the biggest killer for Americans. He's admitting that the fentanyl is flowing across the open border on the same day that they're saying, oh, no, everything's fine at the southern border.
That's exactly right. The contradictory nature of all of that is really astounding. And, you know, I think it is just astounding for Chuck Schumer to just push this aside as a policy difference. As I said, when we know the intentionality, they've moved forward. And it is an unconstitutional move, because we take an oath of office that we are going to defend this country. And when you have that border wide open and you do not know who is coming in, you do not know the threat. You know that China is literally invading us. They have pushed nearly 25,000 single adult males into this country since the beginning of the fiscal year. And this secretary does nothing. This secretary comes to Congress and he lies and says the border is secure. And people can see with their own eyes this border is not secure. You have the Department of Justice telling us that fentanyl is killing more Americans than anything else, and they're having a tough time running down these cartels and getting them off of American streets. You have the FBI director saying, I see flashing lights everywhere, flashing red lights everywhere I look. And this border, we have 300-plus known terrorist watch list names that have been apprehended at that southern border. We have thousands of people from countries of interest. And the Secretary of Homeland Security that does not believe in securing the homeland, the Democrats defend him. I hope every single one of them lose is just horrendous.
Last question on this. Is there any accountability? And I think this is part of the frustration, Senator, for so many. You know, you go to April of this year, and this is what Mayorkas said.
I have never minimized the challenge that the southern border presents. It is my...
I've never minimized the challenge the southern border presents. You go back to April 2023. This is in testimony to Congress, so you're lying to Congress. He said this.
It is my testimony that the border is secure.
That's a lie. He knew he was lying. He knew it was a wide open border. He's admitting it now that, okay, I'm changed my story. But I guess you can just lie to Congress now and there's zero accountability for that. That's what Democrats have basically said. When we're in charge, we can lie to the American people and lie to you. And our officials can lie to Congress about anything they want to with zero accountability. Is that the new world we live in?
2 tiers of justice, one for them and one for other people. And that's the way they look at it. And they just were so proud of themselves yesterday. You should have seen them smiling and rolling eyes. And they were so happy to get off the floor and get on with their day. I'm sure they all had fancy DC cocktail parties to go to last night. And they were just so pleased they had handled this and taught the deplorables another lesson about how D.C. really works. It is sickening, and people are suffering. We have Tennesseans that are losing their lives. Every sheriff I meet with tells me the number one issue they have, drugs and crime in communities, cannot be addressed until the southern border is secured.
As always, it's a pleasure to chat with you. We'll have you back again real soon. All right, don't forget, please hit the share button on this podcast. Put it up wherever you are on social media so other people can hear. So make sure you share it wherever you are on social media, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. 2/3 of Americans are at risk to experience a blackout. Are you ready to protect your family? Well, you could be with the Patriot Power Solar Generator 2000X. This new solar generator has double the capacity and is expandable, so you can run big appliances like your fridge even longer. And best of all, the new solar generator is fume-free, safe to use inside, and never needs gas ever. Over 150,000 Americans already trust Patriot Power Generators. So go to 4 patriots.com/Ben. To get your solar generator now, you'll even get a solar panel included free. So right now, go to 4patriots.com/Ben. That's the number 4patriots.com/Ben.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.